It's that time on a Thursday where we get our view from the north. Our weekly guest has an awful lot going on. Many TV shows on Comcast Sports Northwest. He's talking Ducks, The Five, CSNNW.com, the podcast's Facebook page. Follow on Twitter, at Aaron J. Fentress. A smooth criminal in his own right, we bring in Mr. Fentress. How are things?
What up, man? How are you?
I'm great. Hey, when's the last time you played golf?
Oh, dude, we were just talking about that the other day. It was like the Ducks started, and all of a sudden I couldn't find any time for tee times. It's ridiculous.
I know. I do the same thing. It had been so long, I forgot where my clubs are, popped my trunk, and I was like, oh, man, I ain't going to see you for a while.
We were going to try and go Monday, but I think it was Monday when it was pouring. Was it yesterday it was pouring? I can't remember. One day, the last couple days ago, we were going to go, and it was just pouring here in Portland. It was crazy.
No, we revert back to being working class stiffs. No more glamour on the golf course.
Exactly.
So, you know, after last season, you know, you got the new staff in here. Freeman's back, a healthy Crosby. You knew what the non-conference schedule was. Nebraska, what they were. The Wyoming game looked like a possible landmine. So how realistic did you think it was prior to the season that we'd be on the brink of Pac-12 play with this team 3-0 and back in the national rankings?
Oh, I thought it was extremely plausible. I mean, I think Nebraska was the big mystery. What were they going to do at quarterback? You know, what they were going to look like. I mean, Oregon almost won that game last year, if not for the whole extra point fiasco. And that team they went there with is not as good as this year's team. I mean, pretty much everyone worth a darn, except for some receivers, are back from that season last, from that team last year. And you've upgraded at quarterback. Your offensive line's better, older, more mature. You've got Royce Freeman back, who got hurt in that game. You got Crosby back, who got hurt in that game. Defensive players who struggled last season are a bit older and more, you know, bigger, stronger, wiser. So on paper, you would think that this year's Oregon team would have beaten last year's Nebraska team. And so the question was, what did Nebraska have this year? And clearly, they're not dynamic. So I think to me, it looked like the only question mark was Nebraska, and they got that win. So no, I'm not shocked at all that Oregon's 3-0.
All righty. When the subject of Josh Allen and Justin Herbert surfaced, I thought you had a spot-on answer. Some folks were wondering if this put Justin in the national spotlight, improved his draft stock, and like you pointed out, I mean, a little premature? He's not even eligible for 18 months.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are trying to make it, well, since he out-dueled Allen, who's supposed to be a top 10 pick, that raised his stock, and I don't believe scouts look at things like that. What I do think, because they don't play against each other, it's not like they're going mano-a-mano on the basketball court and guarding each other, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think this. There were 21 scouts there, I believe, at the game. They came mainly to see Allen, and I think all of them left calling their GMs and going, dude, this Justin Herbert kid's got some good. We need to be watching him in a couple years. So I think in that regard, it elevated the awareness of him. Not that, you know, scouts didn't have an idea of who he was basically did last year anyway, but this is 21 scouts that got to see him up close and personal in a game where he played pretty well on the road. Ooh, tongue twister.
Gotcha. continue with Aaron Fentress of Comcast Sportsnet. One of the topics that emerged over the offseason with Freeman returning was, is there going to be a glut at running back? And then the coaches started talking about moving Taj Griffin maybe into a slot receiver role, maybe all purpose. Then he wasn't on the field until last week. How excited, I know you wrote about it, how excited should fans be to have him back and contributing?
I think very, because I think he's going to give you an experienced guy that can play a receiver. I mean, he's not that experienced at receiver, but he's an experienced player, and he definitely has good hands. He said after the Wyoming game that he thought he could have played in the first two games, but he just wasn't quite 100% and didn't see any point in pushing it. Wanted to wait till he felt completely comfortable. And he missed a lot of time during fall camp because he was on limited participation. Right. So, but now that he's back, though, you know, he gives you, I think he's going to definitely be the backup slot. Darian McNeil struggled at Wyoming. He dropped a couple passes. And whereas Taj went in, you know, scored a touchdown, which we all know he's done in the past. So, no, I think having him available, especially if Charles Nelson is limited at all, is going to be pretty huge for the passing game. And what's also interesting is that I had kind of written him off as a running back, because I have three other good running backs, and Taj was listed as a receiver on the roster, but he got six carries.
Right.
You know, they were all in garbage time, but instead they gave him six carries, which was interesting. And to me, just said they just want to give this guy some touches and give him some work to get him back in the flow.
Now, even though Arizona State might have some issues, you know, they're a Pac-12 team. You look at Wyoming, limited talent on offense. Nebraska is now a more pro-style offense with a pocket passer. So how much more, not only different, but diverse and more dangerous of an attack will this kind of work-in-progress Duck defense face Saturday, and maybe even just overall in this conference?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is a way better version of what they saw in Southern Utah, spread team with a dual threat quarterback, and Southern Utah put up 254 yards and 21 points and a half, and then, of course, you know, Oregon squished them in the second half. A way more mobile quarterback is going to present different problems that we didn't see out of Wyoming and Nebraska, and way better receivers, way better athletes than Wyoming. Nebraska has some good kids on the perimeter and a good running back, obviously, but Wyoming did not. It's a bump up in terms of overall talent and speed that you're facing. I fully expect Oregon to win by a couple of touchdowns, but it's definitely going to be a new challenge to see where exactly they are on defense. If they go in there and they hold them to, you know, under 24, then I think you can hang your hat on that, because that's they got some good weapons over there.
We're talking with Aaron Fentress of Comcast Sportsnet, be it Vernon Adams, Matt Hegarty, another grad transfer, the defensive lineman, Scott Pagano, obviously from Clemson last year, saw his first action last week. You always talk about how important it is, man. Inside, they got to be tough up front. How do you see him fitting into this defense, and just how big is it? He looks like he's ready to go.
Can I just say how much I love college football free agency?
Yeah.
it is the best thing ever. It's like a new element. It really is. I'm being serious. Like, in the past, you had to sit out when you transferred. Now, if you graduated, you could transfer. I find that fascinating. Carrington going to Utah, Pagano coming from Clemson. I find it awesome. Now, I think for them to really, you know, maximize what they have going this season, they need Pagano to get 100% and be an impact player. He, on paper, is their best D lineman. I think he would bring balance to the force, so to speak, on that defense, because he's a guy who can deliver at the end and then on third down slide inside and pass rush up the middle. But he said, you know, he said after the Wyoming game, he's still at about 75-80%, and he just wants to sort of ease back into it. And then if he doesn't feel right, he'll check out. So, you know, he saw maybe, I think, only like 10 plays or so. I didn't count them, but he didn't seem to be in all that much at Wyoming. Maybe he'll get up to 20, 25 this week and then keep going from there. But, no, getting him healthy, getting him back to where he was at when he was at Clemson will be huge for Oregon.
And, by the way, the best part about college free agency, as opposed to, like, signing Albert Hainsworth, you're not on the hook for $100 million. It's for a year.
Yeah. You're actually only on the hook for a half a scholarship. Half a year,
right.
So you're going to go pro.
Another subject that surfaced a million times, I guess mostly during the run when Oregon was smoking teams, when to pull the starters. I know that you guys talked about it on Talking Ball this week, Freeman and Herbert in there for the fourth quarter at Wyoming. So be it in general or this particular game, what's your thought on, because you see it a lot, you know, Peyton Manning never came out. He took every single solitary snap. Well, what do you think about in college in particular, you know, when you want to pull your horses?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. To me, the quarterback thing, when you're up, you're not going to throw a lot. You're mostly handing the ball off. You're not expecting your quarterback to get hit. If you do call a pass, it's probably going to be something pretty safe. And if you're in a game where they're not really touching your quarterback anyway, you're really looking at a less than 1% chance of something bad happen.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's you know, season-ending injuries are few and far between as they are, let alone when you're a quarterback and no one's touched you the entire game. You're going to be handing off most of the time. So I wouldn't worry about Herbert at all. Freeman, I guess you could say, well, hey, wait a minute. Why do you keep giving this guy the ball? A freak accident could happen. But again, he was, you know, if anything, Wyoming was like, get him out of the game. He keeps running over our players. Make him stop. Just, give us one of the small backs. Please, oh, Taji Griffin, thank God. So I was worried more about Wyoming than I was Freeman. But I think if that would have been a game where maybe they were up a lot, but there was a lot of physicality going on, a lot of punching hits, and he was getting popped a little bit, then maybe we would saw him leave early. But, man, you just can't coach scared of injury. Like, you can't play that way either. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I've always said, like, you know, people say, you know, so-and-so got hurt in the preseason in the NFL. It was just a waste of time. I'm like, okay, if he was going to get hurt, he was going to get hurt. And you can't say it only happened in the preseason because that's when it happened. It could happen anytime, anywhere. It could happen in practice. So I just look at it like, yeah, you don't – I mean – when they got him out, it was a good time to get him out. But them still being in the fourth quarter, especially when you're struggling on offense, you can't score,
right?
You want to get something going, you know, leave him in unless you feel like the game's getting to the point where maybe something bad could happen. I don't think they ever felt that way.
Couple final thoughts for Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net. You see what happened to UCLA, Stanford, USC almost lost at home to Texas. Not a good Saturday for the conference. And it's not the BCS era where, you know, there's a little more wiggle room. If you win out or only lose once, you still probably can get into the playoff. And I know you guys addressed this. Reason for concern, or those teams just have holes like every other conference and we're still learning and who's the cream of the crop?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's still so early, and there's already been so many crazy things that have happened around the country. I mean, everyone expected USC to smash Texas, and there's other games that have gone a little sideways. You're like, what's going on? And this happens every year. We always have an expectation of what we think teams are going to be based on last year and who's coming back and the whole off season of hype, and you just sort of build something up in your mind, and then by week three, you're like, yeah, this looks completely different. And then by week six, you're like, yeah, this looks completely different. So I don't see any reason whatsoever in worrying about any of that type of stuff right now.
All right, and lastly, the Cubbies woke up today 3.5 ahead of the Brewers.
Yeah.
I thought by now, because 2 weeks ago they were up 4.5. And now tonight, first of four from Milwaukee. Then they play four at Busch. So what's your comfort level for the Northsiders where we stand right now?
I feel pretty good. I think they're obviously the better team, and it would be really, really difficult to blow a 3.5 game lead in just a couple of weeks. So I honestly would be okay. If it gets down to one, I'll get worried. So, and that could be a day and a half away, right?
Yep.
Or 2 days away. But no, I feel like they're the better team, and that they're gonna win it. I'm not that worried.
All right, you don't sound that worried.
You'll call me next week. I'll be in a straitjacket. I can't believe it.
What happened? It's gonna be another 108. He is Aaron Fentress of Comcast Sportsnet, CSNNW.com, on Twitter at Aaron J. Fentress. You travel safe to Tempe. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Take it easy, Aaron.